Welcome back to the Next Gen Advent Podcast. We are moving into section 3, which is going to be talking about the birth of the Messiah. Jesus showed up for everyone, and in this section, we're going to see that God revealed his Savior to both the lowest of the low and the most famous in the land. From shepherds to kings, everyone wanted to know more about Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem. This should bring great encouragement to us because we see that God cares about everyone, and that means that he certainly cares about us. And so I have two special guests with me today, going to be talking about what's a manger. But before we get into our material, I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So go ahead and give me your first name and your grade.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie. I'm in eighth grade.
Hi, I'm Elijah, and I'm in fourth grade.
All right, and you guys are siblings. And so you guys are going to help us kind of pick apart this subject for today as we really process what does it mean for the birth of the Messiah and what does it mean for us? So with that, before we dive into the material, I would love to hear from you guys. What are you most looking forward to about Christmas this year?
I'm excited for all of our family to come into town because I haven't seen them in a while, and it'll be so fun to finally see them again.
Yes, I love that. That's so many people's answers, and they're like, I just like being with people, right? Elijah, how about you?
I'm probably most excited about opening presents and like hanging out with everyone.
Also incredibly fun. Absolutely. And so when we're looking at this concept of God with us and just with, right? What is something at Christmas that is more fun to do with other people than to do by yourself?
One for me is like making Christmas cookies. That's way more fun with a lot of more people than by yourself.
What do you think, Elijah?
I'm probably like going ice skating and doing events.
Yeah, that's not as fun by yourself, is it? I'm giggling, Mackenzie, because almost everyone says Christmas cookies, and I don't make Christmas cookies with other people. And so I'm sitting here thinking, what am I missing out on? I've got it. Maybe that's why, because I was making it by myself and I was like, I don't want to do this, right? And so I need to get in some with situations here with some Christmas cookiness. So I love it. But everyone is like Christmas cookies. I'm like, whoa, it's the same answer. I love it. All right, so let's dig into what's a manger. And so our entire passage for today is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. But Mackenzie's going to read for us verse 7. Go ahead.
Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Luke 2, 7.
Okay, so this very first sentence in Luke 2 highlights the immense power of Caesar Augustus, basically, because he had made a law that the whole world, which was basically the entire Roman Empire, should be taxed. And because of this decree, people under his rule from everywhere had to go back to their ancestral hometowns, no matter where they lived. So to comply with this decree, Mary and Joseph had to travel 80 miles back to the home of Joseph's ancestors, Bethlehem. No one made a big fuss that they were going to go there. There was no royal parade for the soon-to-be king or his parents. This is peak humility on display. And if we look at Caesar and Jesus side by side, the contrast is stark. Christ's birth has been so celebrated that we can't think of anything but Christmas festivities and nativity scenes where he's kind of like the center of the attention, right? And when we heard that we're a manger, but the word manger, where Jesus was laid into, was very far from the peaceful bed that we imagine today. There were animals that had been doing animal things everywhere. No amount of fresh hay would probably sanitize that situation. Jesus was born in the most humble of circumstances, and the ultimate version of humility came in form of the Messiah being born as a helpless baby. Jesus was the opposite of power and authority. The God of the universe humbled himself to the point of taking on human form and dwelling among us. This was God's plan for salvation, a humble, fragile human who understood everything humanity went through, yet never sinned. So let me hear your guys' thoughts. Can you guys list some examples of humility that you see in this passage? How do God's examples of humility point you towards a life of service? When you read about him being born in a manger, how do you see humility on display?
Well, the King of Kings was born, yeah, like in a stable, which is not where you would imagine a king to be born. It's like very uncomfortable and very stinky and disgusting,
right?
But they didn't complain about it.
Right. Like just the sensory experience of that, right? You're like, oh, it probably like almost like tasted in your mouth because the smell is like so strong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's disgusting, right? Where kings are used to being in like very like clean and pristine and like everything's new, right? And he's like, nope, that's not what you got here. Elijah, do you see any humility in this passage? What do you see?
That they had to travel 80 miles and like that's a long time for people.
Yeah, because did they have a car?
No,
right? 80 miles is still kind of like, oh, this is kind of annoying to have to go do this for Caesar. But without a car, that's like a big deal. Yeah. So how do God's examples of humility point us towards a life of service? Like, what do we learn about how Jesus is being born here in this humble circumstance? Like, how do we do the same thing?
I think we should like not complain when we have to do something hard. I think especially like me and my family, we struggle doing that. Like when we have to do something hard and like miserable, we do a lot of complaining. Like we don't want to be here. This is so hard. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they had to travel, like Elijah said, 80 miles and they didn't complain.
Yeah. Here's a secret. I hate like smells. Right? So just even that part alone, right? I feel it's just overwhelming for me sometimes to be like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Like, I can't even think. I can't even hear you anymore. Oh my goodness. And to think that that's just like you said, it's not even like written into the, like, it's not written into the Bible that they were like throwing a fit about it. No, they just accepted it and were part of it. And so I think, like you said, sometimes when we're serving other people, the smells, I'll be honest, they're like, we went to dump this summer in Mexico and I was like, wow. This is a very sensory experience, right? And it's like first thing in your mind, it's like, that's not what we're here for. That's not what's important. To be able to overcome that, to be able to serve people, to be able to see how God is like valuing this, it's like a big deal. What do we think these verses can teach us about the difference between the power of a man, right? That was Caesar had this plan, and the versus God's plan. Did Caesar's plan make God's plan not happen, Elijah?
No.
Right? Like Caesar's plan, God used Caesar's plan. They work together, right? So no man can really like take away God's plan no matter what they do. But what else do we learn? What do you think, Mackenzie? What do we see about the difference between a power of a man and Caesar and God and the way we make plans?
I mean, like Caesar put in place this law and it could have like stopped, like the humility, I feel like, could have been, like, toned down. Like, yeah, he could have been born at home and, like, not as filthy of a situation. Mm-hmm. But they had to travel, which, like, and they didn't complain. And then he was born in a stable of all places, right, which, like, really expressed the humility of God.
Right. Yeah, that's such a good point. Because it's not like they didn't have a plan. They could have been born in a clean home where they had control and they had, you know, like influence over the cleanliness or the smell, or, you know, like we've talked about, right? And it's like, yeah, it's just like redirected that. And the Lord wasn't surprised by that. And he wasn't like, oh, I forgot to tell Caesar not to do that. He's like, no, this is exactly what we're doing. I'm allowing this to happen in Caesar's plan because it's part of the story that I'm writing, because it's part of the point that I'm making, because I want people to understand the humility of Jesus and what this looks like in this situation and how he enters this world. I think many of us have to practice humility, right? Because as you talked about, like, it's not something that we're good at naturally, usually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do you feel like you guys could both practice humility? What would it look like for you to be taking on more humility throughout your day?
For example, on Sunday, we had to rake our entire backyard for the leaves and dump it all in the front yard. And that was super hard and super exhausting. And there were some complaining. And I think the next time we have to rake leaves, we could practice humility by like just getting out there and trying our best and not complaining.
Because did your complaining make anything better?
Absolutely not.
No, right? And so maybe it's not raking leaves. Maybe it's like the next time that you just feel that, like, I don't know about you, but that like complaint like always feels like it's like coming up in my chest. Like I just want to say it out loud so bad, right? And then you're like, it'll make it better. And then it didn't make it better actually. But and so you're like, no, you don't get to come out. I'm just going to do this without like complaining. It's a big thing. Elijah, how about you? How do you feel like you could practice being humble and being like having humility?
Like in class when like people don't want to do that or like have that as a partner, they could like stop complaining and walk with it.
So like when you're picking partners or like what that looks like, instead of like being like, oh, I don't want to work with you or what that looks like. Yeah. You just like be like, okay, yep, I'm going to work with you and we'll get this done and I'll have a good attitude about it. Yep. I like that. As we just think about what this looks like, what's a manger? The fact that it's literally just showing us a metaphor for humility and what this looks like. I just appreciate you guys kind of thinking through this and looking through what this is for our own stories, right? How we have humility, how we can choose to make ourselves kind of lower and be okay with circumstances that are, I think you said this earlier, uncomfortable and that sometimes we see that the Lord shows up really big when we're choosing to be uncomfortable for his kingdom and take that risk. And so with that, would one of you just close us in prayer for today?
Dear Jesus, I pray that this Christmas season will be amazing and that we can practice humility all throughout the Christmas season, that we can learn something from Luke 2:7, and that we can just practice it and shine the Lord's light in this holiday season. Amen.
Amen. All right. Can you guys close this podcast by wishing our listeners a Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
All right. We're so excited that you've been with us today, and we cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. Have a great day.
With us, the Holy One. Through the silence, light breaks through. A tiny child, a promise true. In the stillness, heaven's near. God with us, we shall not fear.